This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our conversation with 91-year-old Navy veteran Chuck Betty, recorded at the studios of Hometown Heroes affiliate KFIV in Modesto, California, where Chuck lives with his wife of 69 years, Priscilla, better known as Penny. Two children, two grandchildren, and three great-grandchildren would have never been born if Chuck did not survive the Battle of Midway aboard the ill-fated USS Yorktown. Some great photos from that battle on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. He told us about volunteering after that to serve on submarines. He said that even though he faced some pretty intense and imposing circumstances, he didn't really feel fear. So why was that? Where did that come from? What convinced you that things were going to work out?
I don't know. I guess it goes way back to when I was a kid that I had never had any fears when I was young, mm-hmm. of anything. I think it just was part of me that way. I knew fear, but I didn't have it that much of it. I don't know. It just helped that you didn't have the fear. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just that you could perform your duty a lot better than you are if you are afraid of it. And as I say, people say, well, you don't have any sense if you don't have fear. Well, I guess I didn't have any sense.
Well, I'm sure your wife of 69 years has an opinion on that one.
Yes.
So one of the things I enjoy about this show is we always learn something. And there are so many things about World War II that are so much deeper than what we understand on the surface. And I don't know if anyone out there, for instance, people might not know that the Japanese had suicide submarines just like they had suicide airplanes. But another thing people might not know is that American submarines had magnetic torpedoes that would be fired off. So in other words, along the lines of a heat-seeking missile, this magnetic torpedo would be drawn to the closest big enough metal object.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you guys had those magnetic torpedoes on the Sea Robin.
We did. Mm-hmm. The one patrol we had them.
And it almost took you guys down.
Well, we fired a number of them. None of them ever to have any effect.
Really?
Whatsoever. We did fire this one that went out so far and then all of a sudden changed direction and just started circling around us, going around and around. Well, of course, that's when we went to silent running and went right round to the bottom, but until it ran, until it just ran out of power, out of electricity, is mm-hmm. what it did.
But you see, you're describing that real matter-of-factly, and I'm just trying to put myself back in your shoes on this submarine. Obviously, you fired it because there was something you were firing at.
Firing at, correct.
Mm-hmm. A Japanese ship.
Yes.
But it didn't hit a Japanese ship. How do you guys find out that it's circling around?
Oh, you hear it. Our sonar. Mm-hmm. It hears it. They hear it.
So it keeps pinging, going around in circles around your ship.
Yeah.
And when does that fear set in that, hey, this thing could actually hit us?
There's no doubt that there's fear there. But I don't know, I never let it bother me.
Yeah.
Again, you know that the captain's done everything he can do to protect you and help you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know you're sitting on the bottom and this thing is going around and around, but it didn't seem to be getting any closer than what it originally was when it first started circling. Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't a panic aboard the boat?
No, there's none whatsoever. Not mm-hmm. that I ever knew of anybody panicking on it, no.
And I'm sorry if this sounds like a dumb question, but just so everyone out there listening gets it, what would have happened to you if that torpedo hit?
Oh, if it went, it exploded probably. Although there's some of them that didn't, you'd hope that was one of them.
You can pray it's a dud.
Right.
But if it's not, you're not here.
That's right. It had sunk us immediately. That's what it would have done if it hit us.
But it didn't.
But I think that was the last of the acoustic torpedoes that I know of. I think they stopped putting them out at all. I don't think any of the boats carried anymore.
Because
they weren't that successful. They weren't
clearly
at all.
Yeah.
They weren't that successful.
There were a lot of different things that got tried during those days. So how many patrols did you make with the Sea Robin?
Two. Uh-huh. Made her last two. She made three patrols totally, mm-hmm. and I did the last two with her. We came out of Fremantle, Australia, and did our patrol. And at the end of that patrol, they sent us back to Hawaii mm-hmm. for a repair there. We were given 2 weeks rest period. And, of course, in Hawaii, we stayed at the Royal Hawaiian, and that was our headquarters.
Nice.
So then the second patrol, we were going to be in Midway. We were headed back to Midway. And that's where we pulled in when the war. We were there when the war quit. And that's where we were going to hold our 2 weeks with the Goonie Birds.
Isn't that interesting? Here, you almost died at Midway.
Midway, and we're back there at the end of the war.
Did anybody else on your boat know about that? No, know that you had been on the Yorktown there?
No.
You think they would have believed you if you told them?
Oh, I don't know. I think they would. I mean, we weren't one to give any bull to one another. No,
yeah.
I don't think so.
But of all the places you could have been at the end of the war.
Other than Midway, right.
Midway, where the Yorktown sunk after you were on. What did that mean to you to hear that the Japanese had surrendered?
It was a big relief. You were just looking forward to going home. You know, things were over, and you all you could think about, well, let's get home. Mm-hmm. You know, we've done our duties now. It's time to get home. We left Midway and went to Honolulu and stayed there for 10 days before we started back to the States. And, they, of course, we went through the Panama Canal. On our way back to the Panama Canal, a lot of times we would flood down and fish. We had ate a lot of fish for dinner. When the sea robin first left the States, we lost one of the crew overside. And he was from Galveston, Texas. That's where he's from. So the captain requested for Navy Day if we could go to Galveston, Texas, which we did. We pulled in there and had the Navy Day parade, riding a torpedo and pulling through the streets.
How
but
about
it was in honor of the young fellow that we lost overside.
So you did that to honor someone who'd gone over the side, and I'm sure you're also aware, because so many guys like you have told me over the years, pointed out the distinction that if you want to take the highest percentage of any part of the service where they suffered the worst casualties, the greatest percentage was in the submarine force.
Submarines, right, it was.
There's a lot of those boats on eternal patrol.
Patrols, there are a lot of them. I don't remember the total.
I think it's 52.
I was going to say, it was in the 50 figure that there were. That I was lucky, that I was one of the lucky people that survived it.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that a lot of people had a worse time than what we did and everything. But it was just looking forward to getting home. I think that's when we left Galveston, where we just headed back to New London, Connecticut. As soon as I got back to New London, where we were given 30 days leave, I went back home and spent 2 weeks there, and then I came back. My wife, who at that time I was engaged to, she was in New York. And, well, she was actually in Montclair, New Jersey at that time. Mm. I went back and spent the last 2 weeks, my leave with her.
When did you get engaged?
Well, see, I had to stop and think. It was 1945. At the time, I was sending my sister and brother-in-law money every month to save for me. So I wrote my sister a letter, and I said, would you... You and Al pick a engagement ring and that and send it to Penny for me. Well, unbeknown, I never notified her. All she did was remember on this, just at Christmas time, is when it was, that she opened up and that was a ring there. That's what it was. I got a letter a short time after that, the next letters we got, that she had accepted.
So you had been together before you went overseas?
Yes, we had. Well, we'd been together probably... total days, I would say maybe 12, 14 days totally. It was all that we were together.
And but I mean, before you, via mail through your family members, asked her to marry you. Pretty unique way to propose.
Right.
So as unique as that proposal was, with the engagement ring being mailed to her, it worked. You're
it
still
worked.
Married 69 years 69 later.
69 years, right. Uh-huh.
What's your secret? What advice can you give the rest of us who want to be married that long?
Take the good with the bad. That's all I could say.
Mm-hmm.
We've had 69 wonderful years, and we plan to have a few more, too. So.
And a few months ago, she was one of those waiting for you at the former Castle Air Force Base. When your plane came back in from Washington, D.C., you went with Central Valley Honor Flight to see the National World War II Memorial. What did that do for you? What'd you get out of that?
It's hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
I look back and think the Army and the Marines had hell. I don't know. It was quite a salute to go back and see the awards and and I think the most one I was impressed with is the statue of Okinawa.
Oh, Iwo Jima.
Oh, Iwo Jima. I meant yes. Yeah. I was most impressed with that statue. I will say because there's such detail.
Mm.
It's such a detail in the statue. And, of course, I enjoyed each and every one of them. But as I said, I think it impressed me more than any of them.
What did it mean to you at the World War II Memorial? Every veteran seems to be moved by the Wall of Gold Stars that represents 400,000 who died. And you came close enough to being one of them. But also at the World War II Memorial, there are different battles that are memorialized in Granite, and one of them is the Battle of Midway.
Midway.
Mm-hmm. What did that mean to you to stand there and look at what it said on that wall?
Memories. It brought back memories of on there. My son-in-law went along as my guardian on the trip. Gary asked a lot of questions, you know, that's on it at the time we were there.
Mm-hmm.
But it brought back memories, is what it did. I enjoyed the trip to no end. I really appreciated it.
Did it leave you feeling that people appreciated you and what you did?
Yes, I'll put it this way. The people that backed this honor flight make you know that the people appreciated you by making it possible for us to make the trips. It makes you feel good that some people remember you and are thankful for it.
Well, I don't want to forget to thank you myself. So thank you for serving our country and for telling us a pretty unique story that not too many people can tell.
Yeah.
Is there anything I didn't ask you about that you think we should know?
Not that I could think of, Paul, no.
What would you say you're most proud of?
Having served. Again, people ask me, how would you do it again? They should do it right now as far as I'm concerned. But I would go. I enjoyed doing what I did. I really did. I enjoyed doing what I did. I'd board the submarines. I would go right back and do it again.
And I think we can all tell you do a phenomenal job. That is Chuck Betty, a survivor of the USS Yorktown at Midway, and also a survivor from our submarine forces in World War II. Here are those figures that we were alluding to. It was indeed 52 U.S. submarines from World War II that are now on eternal patrol. More than 3,600 men died serving on those primitive subs, including Thomas Wilson Griffin, that 31-year-old from Galveston who was the only one from Chuck's boat, the Sea Robin, lost during the war. I'm sure you'll join me in saying that I'm so thankful Chuck was not among that number and thankful that we could hear from him today. Check out the photos on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, and please join us again next time for another journey back in time. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.